And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 70 degrees in Atlantic. We look for partly cloudy skies here today with a high around 92. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In area news, firefighters from Messina have been called to the scene of a barn fire located about 4 miles north of Messina. The call about the blaze at 62655 740th Street came in at around 7:40 a.m. There are currently no other details available. I'll have more news in just a moment.
Hi, this is Jesse Swanson with the TV Store, your locally owned Verizon authorized wireless retailer in Atlantic. Are you dreading the long car ride on vacation and hearing your kids saying, "Are we there yet?" Well, I have a solution for you. A 4G LTE smartphone from Verizon Wireless. You can keep your kids entertained with many different games that you can put on your 4G LTE smartphone, and you can make sure they know exactly how close you are to your final destination with turn-by-turn directions with the free GPS service that comes on all Droid products. You can even check the weather on the go with a 4G LTE smartphone, as you have internet wherever you go. To get set up with your new 4G LTE smartphone, stop in at the TV Store at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic or call 243-3032. We're here to answer any questions you might have about your Verizon Wireless cell phone and provide you with the best possible customer service. Activation, upgrade, early termination, and other fees apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com. Smartphones required a data package.
In state and regional news, the same reservoirs in northern states that were blamed for last year's flooding on the Missouri River are now giving the river a boost during a severe drought. With the help of water from reservoirs in North Dakota and Montana, the Missouri River hasn't lost its depth beyond a one-foot drop in some places downstream from Kansas City. The Kansas City Star reports the Mississippi River on the east side of the state and waterways in Kansas and Nebraska are not so fortunate, though. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers began tapping into reservoir water Friday after depleting the year's supply of snowpack and rain. Corps officials say there is plenty of water in the northern reservoirs to keep the river moving. The amount of water Des Moines residents used crept up on Friday, even though restrictions on water use remain in place. Des Moines Register reports that residents used 75.35 million gallons on Friday. That was up from 69.14 million gallons the previous day, but still well below the record of 96.64 million gallons of water used on Tuesday of last week. But Friday's levels of use remains higher than the Des Moines Water Works can comfortably handle right now. CEO Randy Beaver said the low river levels and lack of rain make conservation necessary. Water quality is a concern. Voluntary water use restrictions are likely to remain in place through August in Des Moines. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources will begin conducting a roadside survey this week to determine what the pheasant population looks like across the state. Iowa DNR wildlife biologist Todd Bogenschutz is predicting a significant increase in pheasant numbers for the first time in 6 years. But because of the drought, Bogenschutz is warning the roadside survey may not accurately reflect the bird population.
I'm a little concerned about conditions coming up here in August to get a really good count of the birds. You know, we're dependent on good dew conditions, and for good dew you need moisture in the soil, and right now we don't have any, so we don't get very good counts of birds if we don't have a good dew.
Last week, the DNR reported that hunters in Iowa shot a record low number of pheasants last year. Around 109,000 pheasants were harvested in 2011, the fewest since record keeping began in 1962. Bogenschutz is expecting hunters will see more pheasants this year because of the recent mild winter.
You know, what I've been telling people is that, you know, we need about two more years just like this, and we'll probably get back to bird numbers that, you know, people expect in Iowa, but it's going to take more than just 1 year of it.
Iowa's pheasant population dropped to record low territory in 2011, following five winters with above average snowfall and five wetter than normal springs. The DNR's annual roadside survey is scheduled for August 1st through the 15th. The 2012 pheasant hunting season will open October 27th. State and county fairs in the sweltering and drought-stricken Midwest may see smaller livestock and produce this year. The dozen pigs that Greg Marzall and his 15-year-old daughter are bringing to the Wisconsin State Fair, for instance, are about 15 pounds smaller than the normal 275 pounds. Marzall had three Grand Champion pigs last year. He says this year the heat is affecting the pigs' virility and appetites. The Wisconsin Fair opens its 11-day run on Thursday in the Milwaukee suburb of West Allis. State fairs are also set to begin in the next 2 weeks in Indiana, Iowa, and Illinois. Those states also have been hit by unusual heat and drought. The National Weather Service office that covers more than four dozen counties in Iowa's midsection is getting a major upgrade to its 1980s-era radar system this fall. Jeff Johnson, the warning coordination meteorologist for the Des Moines Bureau, says the upgrade will incorporate a new technology called dual polarization, or dual pole.
What dual pole does is allows us to have a better look at the precipitation to determine if it's snow, for example, or is a better chance of being a freezing precipitation, large hail, and this kind of thing.
While helping to zero in on snowflakes versus rain, sleet, or hail, the system will also be able to spot smoke plumes from wildfires. The new technology will bring 14 new radar products, enabling forecasters to more accurately predict things like rainfall amounts and to pinpoint life-threatening situations sooner.
For severe weather, it has utility in seeing what we call a debris ball aloft. Every time you have a tornado on the ground, of course, it brings stuff from the surface up into the atmosphere as it destroys things, for the lack of a better word. The radar actually can differentiate that, so it gives us a clue that something's going on.
Installation of the radar upgrade will take about 2 weeks, beginning September 10th. During that time, the radar system will have to be shut down. Residents across the region needn't worry, though. Johnson says as his office has immediate access to other radar systems located in Omaha, the Quad Cities, Sioux Falls, Kansas City, La Crosse, and Minneapolis.
You get the job done looking at those radars, kind of triangulating the information and seeing what's overhead. There's actually a cone of silence with the radar, and for 15 miles out, we're kind of blind straight up in the air. So we kind of use other radars all the time anyway to help augment the information we're getting from our radar. You know, it's kind of a radar network, not a single isolated radar. It's a network that works together.
Johnson did not have a dollar estimate for the upgrade. The Des Moines office of the National Weather Service covers 51 central Iowa counties. The Iowa State Patrol has launched a special Ride Sober or Get Pulled Over enforcement campaign aimed at motorcyclists. Sergeant Scott Bright said the effort is in response to the things they're seeing happen on the state's roadways.
Well, recently, we've seen an increase in the fatality rate with motorcycles. In 2010, we had 55 motorcycles killed in the state, and 25% of those were alcohol-related. So we're trying to decrease that. And as they get out and ride their motorcycles, hopefully they don't get out there and drink while they ride them.
Trooper Bright says they hope the special effort will raise the profile of the issue.
We're going to have troopers work on the interstates and highways and around the motorcycle rallies and going through different towns and just looking for violations to stop the motorcycle. And then if they have been drinking, then we'll run them through the process.
He says drinking alcohol more than any other single factor can rob motorcyclists of the ability to think clearly and ride safely.
You know, if they've had a lot to drink, it's very hard to keep their stability, and especially when they're, you know, come to a stop, the bike starts to sway a little bit.
The advice for drivers is no different than for those on two wheels as it is for those on four when they're told not to drink and get behind the wheel of their vehicle.
If they start to drink, don't get on your bike and ride. And, I mean, if you're going to ride, don't drink. That's kind of the slogan we like to get out there to try and keep everybody safe.
According to the U.S. DOT's National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, motorcyclists accounted for 14% of total traffic fatalities in 2010, yet motorcycles made up only 3% of all registered vehicles in the United States in that year and accounted for less than 1% of all vehicle miles traveled. Des Moines and Sioux City will soon deploy automatic license plate recognition systems that use vehicle-mounted cameras. Those cameras take pictures of license plates and then compare the plate numbers against a list of vehicles sought by law enforcement or lists of vehicle tags. The Des Moines Register reports that law enforcement officials across the country say the system lets officers check thousands of more plates per day. Some legal experts and civil rights advocates say the technology raises questions about data collection and privacy. Des Moines Police spokesman Christopher Scott says their department is acquiring units for two patrol vehicles this fall. The equipment will cost about $38,000. Taking a look now at world headlines on KJAN, former University of Colorado at Denver grad student James Holmes will learn the charges against him when he appears in court this morning. Holmes is accused of killing 12 people and wounding 58 others at the Batman movie premiere in Aurora, Colorado. A Kent State University student accused of posting a threatening message on Twitter is due in an Ohio court for arraignment today. Authorities say William Caberna posted, quote, "I'm shooting up your school ASAP." He was arrested Sunday. Friends say a Massachusetts man who police say shot to death his 7-year-old daughter and critically wounded his 9-year-old son before killing himself had been under extreme stress lately. The district attorney in Worcester says that Darryl Benway separated from his wife just 2 weeks before Saturday night's shootings. Neighbors told the Boston Globe that Benway also had recently lost his job. KJAN News time is 8:10.
Hi, this is Jesse Swanson with the TV Store in Atlantic. Is your internet connection driving you up the wall? Off more than it's on? Constantly buffering when you're trying to watch video? Slower than slow? Or just no service at all to your home? Well, I have a solution for you. Dish High-Speed Internet powered by Exceed. Dish High-Speed Internet powered by Exceed has download speeds up to 12 megs. That's fast. With three different package options, just choose how much you'll need. All plans feature the same high speed with successively higher allowances at each point. Bundle up your internet service with qualifying Dish package and get $5 monthly bundled discount on one bill. Stop in the TV store, your local Dish authorized retailer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or call 712-243-3032 for all the details on satellite broadband that goes beyond your wildest expectations. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary. Visit your authorized Dish retailer for availability details, terms and conditions, and Viasat's ad allowance policy.
In our funeral announcements, Helen V. Nielsen, age 89, of Elkhorn, died Thursday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Helen Nielsen will be held this morning at 10 o'clock at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church in Elkhorn. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has the arrangements. Timothy Lordson, age 54, of North Liberty, died Tuesday. Celebration of life services for Timothy Lordson will be this morning at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon is in charge of the arrangements. The visitation will be held from 9:30 this morning until the time of service at the church. Lillian Jewell, age 85, of Harlan and formerly of Irwin, died Friday. Funeral services for Lillian Jewell will be held today at 1 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Catherine Hoagland Cowan, age 75, of Shenandoah, died Thursday at the Shenandoah Medical Center. Graveside services for Catherine Cowan will be held today at 3 o'clock at the Oakwood Cemetery in Lewis. Nelson Boylan Lorette Funeral Chapel in Red Oak has arrangements. Alfred Dean Urbanek, age 87, of Oakland, died Thursday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Dean Urbanek will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland, where visitation is open today. Luetta Heaton, age 87, of Sibley and formerly of Anita, died Friday in Sibley. Funeral services for Luetta Heaton will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Anita United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita is in charge of the arrangements. Curtis Nelson, age 88, of Atlantic, died Saturday at his home. Services for Curtis Nelson are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And that is a check of our news this morning here on KJAN, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.